I went on an adventure, but I'd been around several different places and asked people, so why do you take communion? So, well, that's what we do every third Sunday, every first Sunday. That's what we do every time we take up an offering. There's all kinds of reasons except for this one reason. I don't want to die sickly and early. I don't want to be sick and I don't want to die early. I didn't hear that, which is the reason we're supposed to take communion. So that's why I spend so much time teaching about communion, so that we can do it on purpose for the right reason and release our faith into it to get the effect that we're supposed to get. Amen? So Paul said the only reason that people die early, he said Christians die early and are sickly and die early, is because they don't discern the body of Christ. So if there's something, there's an anti-something. So if he said that's the only reason Christians die early or sickly and die early is because they don't discern the body of Christ, then if we do discern the body of Christ, then we should expect to have health and healing in our bodies and live long and well. Amen? Okay. Jesus, we thank you that your body is absolutely sinless. There's no yeast in you. There's no sin in you. And that your body was bruised and beaten for us. We thank you that by your stripes we are healed. We thank you, Father, that everywhere you shed your blood, it caused us to get redemption and freedom. And we thank you that the full wrath of God's fiery judgment that we deserved was laid on you at that cross, and that you redeemed us from that curse, and we receive your life and your healing into our bodies. Have you noticed how much better this matzo bread tastes than those plastic rice wafers? Everything that God does is better than anything we can come up with. Jesus, your blood was shed all over the place. Not only has it cleansed and washed our sins away, but it has protected us. It has made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, so we can go boldly into the throne room of grace and receive mercy and grace in time of need. Your blood also sealed in the New Testament promises for us. We thank you for the shed blood of your Son. Praise God. Thank you for your healing. Every time you pronounce the Lord's death, you proclaim the devil's defeat. Amen? I guess you can go to children's church if you just have to. You know what? Someday you're going to be a big girl, and you're going to go to Tuesday school with us and eat what Miss Connie cooked. Open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. And we're going to continue on with our study. See, we've been having an adventure with the Holy Spirit. And we're building a foundation. We're building a foundation for the gifts of the Holy Spirit to operate through the body of Christ. This is a personal fellowship, personal relationship, one-on-one with you and the Holy Ghost. It's an exciting thing. It's a fun adventure. So I'm going to pray for us while you get to the chapter. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for your Holy Spirit, who you've given to us to teach us and guide us. He helps us to rightfully divide your word of truth. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you have given unto us. Father, we ask that you open the eyes of the church so that we'll see your greatness operating in the body of Christ as we come together in unity and have one mission, have one mind, and one goal, and that is to operate in your kingdom the way you designed us to. Amen? Amen. Matthew, now, part of this foundation for operating with the Holy Spirit and working with Him and flowing with Him, number one, is to be born again. You got to be born again. You're not going to operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit unless you're born again. Amen? Number two, you got to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You got to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen? That's what, you know, Jesus told the troops to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, he would not do that to them if he didn't give them the endowment of power, the ability to do that. Amen? Now, right here in Matthew chapter 28, verse 6, the people went to the tomb after Jesus was crucified and they found him gone. And this angel said, "He is risen. He's not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay." Right there, the very fact he is risen. That's the basis of our faith. That's how we get born again. We believe that God raised Jesus back to life, and then we confess him to be Lord. He is risen. Now, there's something I want you to see about this part. We covered this a little bit, but look over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. It says, "What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head to the church, head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." You have to just sit there and look at this for just a little bit and think about these things. Number one, when you get born again, you get placed into the body of Christ. That means that you are seated at the right hand of God, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. All these problems, all these challenges, all these financial woes, all these sicknesses, all these diseases, all these challenges that we face, they've been placed under your feet. You're not under the circumstances. You have to realize that you fight from victory ground. You don't fight for victory. There's too many people, too many Christians trying to fight for victory, trying to fight to get the victory. You've already been given the victory. Jesus took the beating. You got the victory. You fight from victory ground. The Bible tells us in Revelation that you've been made kings and priests. That means that you decree something and then you offer up praises to God. Amen? Now, he rose from the dead, and in that life of his was added the power of resurrection, and he put that life in you. See, remember, we need to be God inside minded. If we want the gifts of the Holy Spirit to operate through us, we need to be God inside minded. He's in there. I remember, I used to go out, I spent a lot of time out away from people, and pray like he's way out there. I'd look out into the stars and I'd pray as loud as I could. And I'd pray and pray and pray. And then when I finally got that revelation that he's in there, he's on the inside of me, he's in there, my prayers suddenly got quiet and more personal and more powerful. Amen. And then when I really started to understand what it meant to believe God, my prayers went from paragraphs to sentences. We don't have to have long-winded prayers to get an answer from God. We just need to have his word in our heart and release that in faith, believing he is good to uphold his word. Go over to John chapter 16, verse 7. John chapter 16, verse 7 says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." He was telling his disciples right there. He was getting them ready. He's getting them ready. See, you have to understand, he told them, said, "I will not leave you orphans." See, what, you understand a little bit about the culture here. When a rabbi had students that sat under him, if that rabbi died, his disciples were considered orphans. Jesus said, "I will not leave you orphans. I'll send the Comforter here, the Holy Spirit." Isn't that cool? Now here's another thing interesting about these disciples of these rabbis. One of the best compliments you could ever give one of these disciples of a rabbi is that, you know, the dust of your rabbi is upon you. Why is that? That sounds kind of corny. The dust of your rabbi is upon you. That means what he taught you is seen on you. Seen in you. Now you know, these guys, these disciples one time were in trouble and they were getting persecuted, and the rulers said, "Well, we can see that you've been with Jesus. You've been listening to this guy." Yeah? That's how we need to be. And one of the best ways to do that is to have the Holy Ghost operate in your life through you into somebody else. See, he went back to his Father in heaven, and the Holy Spirit came to indwell us so that you can have his anointing to walk in overcoming power. Today, he's seated at the right hand of God, just like we've seen in Ephesians. He's resting in his finished work, in the position of highest authority. And that life is in you now. Let me ask you something. When you're on the job, and there's a lot of work to do, and you're really supposed to be out there really getting after it, what's your boss going to do if he sees you sitting down on the job? It's not going to go well. But you're sitting down. That means there's no work to be done. The work is done when you're sitting down. The work is done. Jesus did the work. Your job is to do the receiving. Receive freely from him. Let him flow through you. Let him be God in your life. He created you. The creator of the created thing takes care of the created thing. Ha ha. when he puts his name on something, he takes care of it. When you put your name on something, you take care of it. You know? He put his name on you. He called you Christian. And he takes care of you. He is the good shepherd. Amen? Did you know you're sitting on the wrong side of him? You're supposed to be sitting on the left side of him. With his left arm over you. That's your protection. Close to his heart. So he can love you. See, the wife is supposed to respect the husband, but the husband's supposed to love the wife. That's where the rib goes. Right there. I just thought I'd throw that in. See, like him, but he's not holding her. Now you got it. Now you got it. All right. Go to Romans chapter 8, verse 17. And when a husband care of her. And that's what happens. When you take his name, he's got a job to do. Protect you, take care of you, and love you. Amen? Romans chapter 8, verse 17. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified with him. Okay, now, that suffering thing in there, there's people running around with sicknesses in their body, diseases in their body, ailments in their body, crippled, all kinds of different things, or challenges, you know, and they say they're suffering with Jesus. That's foolishness. Jesus did all the suffering that needs to be done. You need to do the receiving and get the healed part. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You be healed and you walk in your healing. Now, there is persecutions, and that's suffering with Jesus. And we are called to do that. Sometimes we do get persecuted. We get persecuted for righteousness' sake. We get persecuted for operating in faith. You want, here's a challenge for you. I promise you, you'll raise shackles all over town, but it's okay, I do it all the time. When people come up and say, we need to pray for rain, I say, yeah. We need to receive the blessing that God gave us on this high Sierra. This is a desert. This is the Chihuahuan Desert. No, you want to see a desert? Go to the Red Desert in Wyoming. It's the Singing Sand Dunes. That's a desert. This is a high Sierra. This is a blessed place. Stop calling things that aren't. If you're going to call things that aren't as though they are, then you need to call it the right thing. Amen? Stop calling this place a desert, and you start calling this place a blessed place, a high Sierra with an abundance of rain. You got to control your tongue. I don't care what the naturalists say. I don't care what the different societies say. You call it the way God calls it. Amen? It makes people mad, and they will stand up. And Christians will fight for the right to be cursed. How stupid is that? Don't fall into those shoes. All that Jesus is, all that he is, God meant for you to be. Sometimes it's hard for people to see that, but look at John chapter 14, verse 12. Don't go there now, but go there sometime and look at that. Jesus said you could do that. All that Jesus is, God meant for you to be. Sometimes we got to think about this. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." That is you. When you get to baptism of the Holy Spirit, that is you. That's all that Jesus was. Everything. Right there in that verse. That was Jesus on this earth. And that's you when you get born again and you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's you. Amen? Do you know any brokenhearted people? Do you know any blind people? Do you know any sick people? Know anybody that needs to be born again? Our commission is to help that. Amen? All that Jesus is, God meant for you to be. All that he has, God meant for you to have. What does Jesus have? He created everything. It's all his. Well, on this earth, people's going to say, well, he was so poor he didn't have a place to lay his head. I'm going to tell you something about this. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says, For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, and we through his poverty might be rich. Okay, you got to get a hold of this. One day, he's in heaven at the right hand of God, wrapped up in his love. The next day, he's in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, found in form of a man. He laid everything aside. He laid it all down. That didn't stop. That didn't mean that he stopped being in ownership of it. He laid it down. Put it away. And then when he got on that cross, everything that he owned became ours. Galatians chapter 3 verse 29 tells us that if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What did Abraham own? When Melchizedek met him after the slaughter of kings, he said, "Blessed are you, Abraham, possessor of heaven and earth." That pretty much covers everything, doesn't it? That's what you fell heir to. When you became a joint heir with Christ Jesus. You know what a joint heir means? Equal ownership. If he owns something, you own something. And if you own something, he owns something. It's his and it's ours. We're wrapped up in Jesus. Our lives are hid in him. We're not him here and us there. We're here. We need to be equally yoked with him. We need to be yoked with him. He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." The more you learn of him, the more of him is going to happen in you. You know, the John Baptist, he said, "I need to decrease so that he can increase." Every one of us is in that boat. The more of him that we take into us, the less of us there is, which is a good thing. All the exciting things that you read in the Bible about Jesus, all the treasures of him hidden in the Old Testament, and the unsearchable riches in him that you find in the New Testament, all of that life of his is not out there somewhere. It's in here. Sometimes it takes our lightning fast minds to catch up to these spiritual realities. I mean, you know, I'd been going along and I've been studying and I've been getting this and it was coming, and man, this stuff was becoming more and more real in my life, and ended up becoming a homeowner, had a company pick up, a good job, and the gas field that I took care of surrounded the church that I went to. So I could be running around out in the field and I could look down and there's the church. God, this is so cool. And then that summer, man, the rain came, the rain was there, and the grass was this tall and the sweet clover was that tall. And you could just lose cows out in the clover. I just look out there and I say, I am so blessed. This is so cool. And then God started dealing with me to come down here. So we came down here to look at this place. And I'm running around and I'm thinking, to myself, this place looks like it's been through a war. Because right after that big fire, and I thought, man, if it's not black, it's brown. And I thought, how am I going to make a living? How am I going to survive? And he said, you're going down there. He kept dealing with me. I prayed and prayed and prayed. And finally one day I got to the gate, got on the road to go to work. And I said, God, I finally got into a spot where I'm in the blessing. I got a beautiful church I love to go to. Got my own home. I got, look at the grass and the clover out here. My horse is fat as a pig. And everything is wonderful. And he said, son, the blessing is on the inside of you. I thought, oh. Be God inside minded. He's in there. You've got that creative force inside of you. It can't be just one person, though. It's got to be when the body of Christ comes in unity and starts calling things that aren't as though they are. You can change the world around you. Amen? You can manipulate the weather patterns. Jesus manipulated the weather patterns. He told storms to stop and they stopped. When we see a cloud, we need to come into agreement and say, cloud, get over here and rain. In the name of Jesus. Amen? All these unsearchable riches in Him that you find in the New Testament. All of that life of His. It's not out there somewhere. God has deposited in you so that you can live the abundant life that Jesus came to give you. Look at John chapter 10:10. We need to go there once in a while. John chapter 10. Verse 10. We use this as a dividing line. If there's ever any confusion, and I know there's a lot of confusion in the church world about this. You know, I literally was at a place one time. I was going to preach. There were going to be several hundred kids there. And this little guy, he come dragging the leg. He come dragging the leg up to the door by me and he said, yeah, God gave me a stroke so I'd become a preacher. And I thought, holy smokes. And you're going to get up there in front of 300 kids and preach? You need to just keep your mouth shut. He didn't know the difference between God and the devil, evidently. John 10:10 says, the thief comes not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. If it's stealing, killing, and destroying, that's the devil. Not God. in Him, there is no darkness at all. If there's darkness, it's not coming from God. That's part of the curse. It's coming from the devil. He's not teaching you a lesson. He didn't make you sick to get your attention. This is what Jesus said He came for. I am come that they might have life. That Zoe kind of life. The God kind of life. That nothing missing, nothing broken kind of life. That blessed kind of life on the inside of you. And that they might have it more abundantly. That means overflowing. Overflowing finances. Overflowing health. Overflowing vibrancy. Overflowing energy. That overflowing energy that helps you stay awake in church. That overflowing energy that helps you get through your day. That overflowing life, that vibrancy, that God kind of life, that kind of life. See, Jesus, when He told His disciples He was instituting the Last Supper, and He's telling them, said, you got to take My body and drink My blood. Let's go to John chapter 6. This is just John chapter 6. We'll start at verse 61. It said, when Jesus knew in Himself that His disciples murmured. Well, let's go to verse 53. We'll start there. John chapter 6, verse 53 said, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. He's getting this communion going here. Whoso eateth My flesh and drinketh My blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For My flesh is meat indeed, and My blood is drink indeed. He that eateth My flesh and drinketh My blood dwelleth in Me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent Me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth Me, and even he shall live by Me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna, and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said He in the synagogue as He taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of His disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? Sometimes you'll hear stuff that you don't understand and you can't quite grasp. But that doesn't mean you get up and walk out. That means you sit there and you look at that and you ask the Holy Spirit to help you understand that. Amen. But these guys, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in Himself that His disciples murmured at it, He said unto them, does this offend you? Don't get offended at the word. I don't care if you get offended with Me. Don't get offended with the word. Amen. What, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where He was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray Him. And He said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto Me except it were given unto him by the Father. From that time, did you notice this? John chapter 6, verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Don't let the devil allow you, don't let him cause you to be offended with the word. There's stuff in the word I'm not always comfortable with. I look at it and I thought, okay, I don't know how this works. You're going to have to show me how to get this into my life. You know, sometimes we get old religious ideas. There's stuff that we've been taught for years and years and years and years that are wrong. And we need to wipe those off the slate and get the absolute 100% white hot gospel of grace going in our life and go forward with that. And there's some stuff that some really famous, powerful preachers that are preaching all the time that are wrong. That are wrong. That's why it's so important to get that Bible in front of you and match what they're saying with the Bible. It's that little bit of twist that they put in there that causes it to be wicked and all messed up. It's no longer the gospel when they twist it. We've got to stay right in line with the word. That's how you stay in the middle of the road. You stay right in line with the word. Amen? Now, there's some good things that happen to us. We need to make sure that we stay under grace. Don't ever make it about your ability. Make it about His grace. His life in you, when you're focused on the cross, you'll be walking in the right direction. Amen. Everything has to be about Him. It's all about Jesus. If it's ever a little bit about you and a little bit about Him, that's not going to work. It's got to be about Him. And then He'll be able to flow through you in ways you never even imagined. Amen? Look over to Psalm chapter 103. And we'll finish with this verse. And then we'll get started on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We'll do a series on that next week. We'll have a foundation. We'll have a rock solid foundation on this. Psalms chapter 103, verse 1. This is a... These verses right here are for absolutely everybody. There's somebody sitting at home watching this in the molly grubs, pouting, wondering why things ain't going their way. Psalms 103 is your fighting verse. You get in your own head, you start playing mental basketball with yourself, and then you end up on the road to defeat. Sometimes you need to talk to yourself and you need to tell yourself to shut up. David, you got to understand a little bit about David. A prophet. The mighty prophet come down there and picked him out of the litter. He wasn't the first pick either. His mama, his daddy, his parents said, here, there's our oldest one right here. He should be, no, that's not the one. Say, well, how about this one? No. How about this one? No. You got any other kids? Yeah, we got this Rudy little boy out here herding sheep. He's got a runt. He wasn't the pick of the litter, but he was the one that God set His eyes on. And the prophet anointed him to be the king of Israel. Now, David is living in a cave. And the ex-king of Israel, who was still holding the title, was running around trying to kill him. But David cut a covenant with that guy's son. So that means that guy was off limits for David to kill him. He wouldn't even hurt him. He wouldn't even say a bad thing about him. This guy was supposed to be living in a mansion, eating the best grapes, and eating the fatted calf, and sleeping in a nice bed. But here he is sleeping in a cave, eating what he catches. Now, don't you think that he had opportunity to get a little bit down? He did. And here's what he did. He said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." He was telling his soul, "See, you're a three-part being. You are a spirit. You're hooked to a soul. That's your fine-tuned thinking machine that's up here between these floppy little ears that gets you in so much trouble. And you just happen to live in this body that everybody recognizes as being you, but that's not the real you, that's your body." He said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." He's telling his thinker to shut up. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. I know things are going hard, but don't forget about the good things that God has done for you. I know it's a little bit of a grind, but don't forget about the blessings. He forgives all your iniquities and he heals all your diseases." Well, that's a blessing. He forgives all your iniquities, all your frailties, all your weaknesses, all your sins. That means you're in right standing with God. But things are hard. "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all." Keep your eyes on that cross. Don't get them off Jesus. He'll get you out of that hard time. "But I did it myself. I got myself into it." Then he'll get you out of it. Amen. He takes care of us in spite of ourselves. I'll give you an example. I came from real sheep country, and when things would get dry out in the country, them ponds would get low, and so the sheep would have to walk out there to get that water, and they'd sink down into that mud. That sheep got itself into that mud hole. One of the jobs was you'd have to go ride bog. That's what we call it. We'd be riding bog. So we'd ride around all these different little bog holes or creeks, ponds, wherever a sheep could get bogged. Find a bogged down sheep, you rope him, drag him out. He got himself into trouble, and in spite of himself, we got him out. We were the shepherds. How much more Jesus, the good shepherd, gets you out of trouble? He has a rod and a staff. The rod and the staff is to protect you from your enemies and to get you out of trouble. You know those long canes? They're about that long. That's to reach out and grab a sheep by the neck and pull him out. Amen? Everything about a shepherd is protecting and taking care of the sheep. A shepherd never hurts his sheep. Everything about a shepherd is to protect and take care of. And Jesus, the good shepherd, is all about protecting and taking care of you. Amen? Now, he redeems our life from destruction. He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies our mouth with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. Praise God. Praise God. He's in there. That life of his is on the inside of you. speak it forth. I can testify to this. Every time I, the morning times, I got a lot of aches and pains. I'm not any different than a lot of people. And I walk around wondering if something's going to fall off. And when I get done preaching, like right now, I feel like I could just go jump on a bull. It feels that good. What is it? It's that word going forth out of my mouth. I'm hearing it too. I'm sure maybe some of you feel better too when you hear the word. I hear it. It makes me feel better. Amen? Don't go jump on any bulls. Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you that every time we take your word in our hearts, it builds faith. When we see you in your grace, faith gets even that much stronger in our hearts. When we take your word in, we can speak it forth. And it causes great things to happen in our lives and the people around us. It causes us to be healed. It causes us to be prospered. It causes us to be delivered. It causes us to be protected. It causes us to be guided by your Holy Spirit. Because your word says that as many as are the sons of God can expect to be led by the Spirit of God. So we thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit. And we expect to be led by him, showing us each way we need to go, showing us how we need to do things, showing us where we need to be, so we can be at the right place at the right time, so that we can meet these divine appointments that you have set before us, even before our life began. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.